we turned our attention very quickly to Manhattan, which historically kind of gone under the radar and is a past producing, it's actually a collection of past producing mines that have recently been consolidated by Scorpio in 2021 with the acquisition of the Manhattan mine from Kinross in 2021. So the combination of Gold Wedge and Manhattan together really presented the opportunity to build this into a district scale, to build district scale potential.
Good day. We have Zane Callion with Scorpio Gold, CEO and director. How are you, my friend?
Good, Steve. How about yourself?
Not bad. So you are over there in Vancouver, is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
And Scorpio Gold's project, you know, you have the in Nevada. In, I think it's the south?
Correct. Yeah.
Southern
Nevada, just south of Round Mountain, which is the second largest mine in Southern Nevada. Kinross is a fairly large mine, or second largest mine. The largest mine in Southern Nevada, and it's located about 40 minutes north of Tonopah.
Well, Zane, I'm curious. This is our first time meeting, and we found you because you've checked certain boxes. And we're just for full disclosure for our listeners, I am not currently an investor yet, although that may change after Zane convinces me. But we do like Zane's story. We wanted to share that with our listeners. But Zane, if you can briefly share about your story, just kind of your background and what you bring in terms of your experience to Scorpio Gold. And then if you can talk about Scorpio Gold and kind of what the company's all about.
Yeah. So I kind of came to the mining industry and junior mining in a kind of very unique way. I was started my career as a software engineer in the early 2010s. Was fortunate to have a fairly successful exit in 2017. And I moved back to Vancouver. I was living on and off in Vancouver and originally from here. And Vancouver is kind of known as our cottage industry kind of being junior mining. So was surrounded by a lot of opportunities, and I started kind of investing in different projects and really became kind of turned my focus more to the finance side. And was fortunate to have some success in junior mining and investing. And I optioned a gold project adjacent to Scorpio's Mineral Ridge mine, which we recently sold in 2023. We optioned that project and then started talking to Scorpio's management and realized that they were in a very tough position financially. The existing management team was fairly tired and was in a tough spot. So we structured a transaction to take over the company and join management, recapitalize, restructure everything, and that's kind of how we got here today. So I went on as CEO in February of 2024, so that was last February. Brought a very strong set of mining, very experienced mining investors, and have built a really experienced exploration or a technical team around myself in that regard too. So we have very strong investors, all kind of high net worth mining investors, very successful. And then alongside that, a very successful technical team with a long track record of success, led by Harrison Pokrant, who was spent 10 years with B2 Gold, and Leo Hathaway, who's spent the last 20 plus years working with the Lumina Group, Ross Beattie's very successful mining group.
Well, Zane, curious as to what drew you to Scorpio Gold, and you know, what did investors that you brought on see with the potential for investment here? What did you guys find?
Yeah, so we were originally focused on Mineral Ridge, but we very quickly became aware that Mineral Ridge was a very tough project economically. It's a fully permitted mine, but it does have some tough economics. But we turned our attention very quickly to Manhattan, which historically kind of gone under the radar and is a past producing, it's actually a collection of past producing mines that have recently been consolidated by Scorpio in 2021 with the acquisition of the Manhattan mine from Kinross in 2021. So the combination of Gold Wedge and Manhattan together really presented the opportunity to build this into a district scale potential. Manhattan has been mined on and off since the 1950s. Gold Wedge was most recently mined in the early 2000s. And then collectively, we took all the historic exploration that's been done across the entire project, which is over 2,000 drill holes, over 140,000 meters of historic drilling, We took all of that data and really worked through it over the past year, which culminated in us putting out our maiden resource, which was released last week, which was a 740,000 ounce resource at what we feel is very unmatched grade in Nevada. So 1.26 grams per ton with low 90% historic recovery. So those three aspects together, so I'll call it, it's relatively small at this point, but has lots of opportunity to expand. But the fact that it is a very high grade is compared to other peers in Nevada, and call it that, it has four distinct histories of past production. So it's the metallurgy is very well understood. Although we are doing modern met work on it, we don't have any really concerns around the met work, but we're really positioned well with an asset that truly stands out amongst its peers. And then in terms of expandability, which we'll talk about in a bit, but there's so much potential to really expand this. And we really are confident that we'll be able to get this to multi-million ounce potential in a very short amount of time.
So you got the grade, you've got potential to expand, and you've got friendly jurisdiction. Yep. I mean, you check a lot of boxes. In terms of ounces, you said you're anticipating how much?
Yeah, so in that same press release we put out, we included two historic resources that existed at either end of the strike. And those two historic resources cumulatively equal, it's actually three historic resources, cumulatively equal 300,000 ounces at 5.6 grams per ton. So that's very high grade. Now, they are historic resources and they do need to be made compliant. There's some work to do there, and that's what we're working on. But even if you consider those historic resources, which have a fairly high cutoff grade, a 3 gram per ton cutoff grade, it really will allow us to unlock a lot more ounces very quickly. So we feel that we're comfortable in saying that we can easily get this to over 1 million ounces in the short term. We can add an additional 400,000 ounces of uncategorized. There was uncategorized resource that we could not include in the resource in the compliant resource. Just because the spacing wasn't there and we couldn't confirm all the QAQC. So through some confirmatory drilling and some more work later this year, we can add a potential additional 400,000 ounces on top of that. That gets us well over 1 million. And then finally, beyond that, there's so many targets, so much opportunity to expand even in the core resource area. We're talking about 10 kilometers cumulatively of strike length, and the resource that we put out only exists in about 2.5 kilometers. So you have so much potential to expand. And that's really what drew a lot of people like Harrison and Leo to this project, is they just see the opportunity to build really true multi-million ounce asset in one of the best jurisdictions in the world, arguably the best jurisdiction in the world to operate. So we just feel so comfortable with where we're sitting today, significantly undervalued even in today's market, even though we've had a recent run in our stock. We still feel that we're undervalued just when you look at really the ultimate potential to build something that's truly special in Nevada here.
So you guys, you mentioned Harrison and Leo. Harrison, the VIP, the VP of Exploration, and Leo, the Executive Technical Director. And you mentioned briefly kind of where they came from, but the team that you assembled together in Nevada, with the jurisdiction you have, I mean, in terms of the experience, the property you have, and the amount of ounces you're looking at, seems like checks a lot of boxes. The upside certainly seems to be there. What have you seen in terms of risk that you can help us help to? What risk do you see, and what kind of upside are you looking at here? In terms of, you mentioned the word undervalued, and I would agree with that. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, so I think we're working towards to proving up 2 million ounces by the end of next August. So that's the next 12 months. We feel confident that we can achieve that. We're very well financed. We recently sold off our other project, Mineral Ridge, for $7.5 million US, of which we realized $5 million upfront and $2.5 million over the next 12 months. And then we also closed a recent private placement that was almost exclusively placed with Ross Beatty for $4.4 million and Eric Sprott for $3 million. And then there was some additional participation from the Lumina Group, from some of the members of the Lumina Group as well. And that collective financing really sets us up very well. Alongside that, we have an additional $10 million in the money warrants that are being exercised every day, the majority of which expire in February of next year, early February. So all of those cumulatively put together, like today we're sitting on 14.5 million US, or sorry, 14.5 million Canadian in cash. We're very well set up to be able to execute on a very aggressive drill program over the next 12 months and really work towards that 2 million ounces. In terms of de-risking, we have water rights. These are past producing mines. It's cumulatively seven past producing projects, past producing historical mines that make up this entire project across that 10 kilometers of strike. All of those projects collectively, the past production, all of the historic disturbance, all of those things further de-risk it. Is that we're not talking about building a mine on a greenfield site here. We're talking about building a mine on a place that has a long history of mining. We have established water rights. We actually even have a 400 ton per day test mill that's also built on site, as well as a permitted underground decline. So all of those things together, like we're sitting in a very well de-risked perspective from a permitting standpoint. And I think the way that we look at it is, okay, we have, say we're working towards 2 million ounces, or say we even say we only have 1 million ounces, which I think we'd comfortably say we're there. And that's all we ever find. If you take on a per ounce basis, with all the de-risking that we have and the grade and recovery, we feel that we can easily justify $250 US per ounce in the ground. So at $250 per ounce in the ground, do the math on whether you call it 1.2 million ounces or 2 million ounces. You do that math, you look at the NPV value, we feel that we're significantly undervalued as to where we're trading today at 100 million Canadian. So ultimately, our goal is to work well beyond that 2 million ounces. I think we feel comfortable we can get there at least. But with the amount of targets that we have and the amount of work that can be done and the conviction of our technical team, I think we're very well set up to even go beyond that. And time will tell. Like, obviously, there's a lot of always risk with exploration. I'm not going to promise anything, but I think we feel comfortable with those numbers, and that's what we're working towards. But multi-million ounce kind of is not, it's more than two, but I think it's how far beyond that it goes, time will tell, I think, at this point.
You mentioned the potential for growth. You mentioned the permitting. What are we talking about in terms of timeline, you think, with that?
Yeah, I think the way that we look at it is we're looking at potential opportunity to permit the existing resource in the core patented zone that we have today, because that just de-risks it for whoever, whether it's us that builds the mine or maybe we end up getting acquired in the future. It allows us to de-risk the ounces that we already have. And then it presents an opportunity to be able to de-risk the build-out or the development of the project, because you can use the small resource that we have already to finance your product, for finance the bigger building of something much bigger. What I'd say is that our focus right now is building ounces, because until we know how large this thing is going to get, doing a PEA doesn't really make a lot of sense, because you're just going to have to redo it. So we don't, if we think this thing is going to top out at 2 million ounces, okay, then we can work towards doing a PEA. But we won't know that until we do the work this year and we work towards kind of towards the end of the year and end of the next 12 months. And then we can say, okay, now we see this could go much bigger. This is only going to go so much bigger. This is where our conviction is. And then we can make some assessments as to timing around PEA. But I'd rather be doing a PEA on a 3 million ounce or 4 million ounce deposit than I would be on a 2 million ounce deposit, because that's just going to change your economics completely.
So one of the things I find with junior mining companies is sometimes I feel as if, one, it's a concern when companies don't share how much capital they have. And or the is another concern sometimes when it feels as though they're relying on the price of gold to keep the company afloat, where I'm encouraged by the amount of capital you have and the you don't seem dependent upon raising. I mean, where are you in terms of, is it just go time? Is it, I mean, with the next 12 months, with a plan to find gold and see what you have?
Yeah, I know we're well financed, and don't get me wrong, this has not always been like this. Is only something that's occurred in the last, like, I'm not exaggerating, 6 weeks. Like, we've turned so many corners, and things that we've been working towards, and all the projects, selling Mineral Ridge, the financing with Ross and Eric, all of these things are just recent developments, and they've really put us in a much stronger. The run in our stock that unlocks those warrants. All of these things are just things that have occurred in the last 6 weeks. And those collectively have just put us in such a strong position to really execute. And having this capital is something like I'll honestly say, like, we were not there 6, 8 weeks ago. It was a much tougher perspective. But we've been working on all of these projects for so long, getting the resource out, getting our initial drill results out for this year's drilling, securing that kind of financing with some very headline, like, very successful investors. All of those things have just put, I shouldn't even call them investors. I should call Eric Sprott and Russ Beatty builders rather than.
No big deal. Investors. No big deal.
Yeah. But all of those things together have just put us in a really, really, really great spot. But what I'd say is that now the pressure is on the team to execute. We need to deliver ounces. We need to work very diligently over the next 12 months. To really build something of value and spend that capital as wisely as we possibly can and as efficiently as we possibly can.
So you mentioned Sprott, and I'm curious as to the share structure. If you could talk about the insiders.
Yeah,
institution.
I'd say that's probably one of our biggest criticisms against us is that we have a lot of stock out, which we do, and I'll fully be candid on that. So we've got about 260 million shares outstanding today. Fully diluted, it's like 320. So that is a lot of stock, but that does also at being fully diluted, that also has another $12 million in cash in the bank, or $11 million in cash, with all those warrants being executed and options and et cetera. So it is a lot of stock, but at the same time, it does unlock a lot of capital, and that allows us, we have no shortage of places to deploy that capital to add value. And that's really where that's the work that we need to be doing. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to be adding two more drills to site. So we'll be drilling three drills, which we target as a minimum of 50,000 meters between now and the end of next August. And we might be able to go even a little bit beyond that. So that's kind of where we're at.
In terms of major investors, as you mentioned, insiders, institutions, what percentage are we talking about?
Yeah, so major investors, like, we have probably four or five large investors, including Ross and Eric themselves. And then Adrian Day's Euro Pacific Fund is also a fairly large shareholder. But yeah, we have very strong shareholders. Now, I always love to illustrate the value of that by saying in mid-August, we had, on a Saturday, we had 63 million shares come free trading. Sorry, 67 million shares come free trading on a Saturday. And the stock was trading close to around 20 cents on the Friday prior to that. The following week, the stock went to 30 cents, and that was 8 cents stock that came free trading on the Saturday. So these are that was all placed with very strong investors who've been supportive of this company for a very long time. And to have kind of stock that was double what it was valued at when it was invested and came free trading, and for the stock to continue to increase, and it's gone even farther, gone even higher from there. It just shows the commitment of the people that we have behind this company.
Zane, I feel like you got a compelling story. Certainly something that I like to investigate further in, but this gives me a lot of optimism. Full disclosure, Zane and Scorpio Gold has not paid for this interview. I am intrigued and interested. If people are wanting to follow the story, have any questions, continue to get news, if you can share your ticker, your website, maybe an email or how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, so our ticker is SGN on the TSX Venture and SRCRF on the OTCQB. And in Frankfurt, I can never remember a ticker, so you'll probably have to find it on our website. Actually, I have it on a business card here. It is RY9. And you can find us at scorpiogold.com. You can send me an email at ZAYN or ZAYN for the Americans out there at scorpiogold.com. Please feel free to reach out. We're an open book. We love sharing our story. We're in a really great time. I think the gold price could not be better. And I don't want to say that we're dependent on the gold price, but it definitely has helped. So let's just hopefully we continue to see that accretive value. And I really appreciate all the support from the existing investors, and hope that some of your audience sees the value of what we're trying to build and joins the team.
Well, Zane, great to meet you. Look forward to following your story.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.